listening to Pop Health Week on Healthcare Now Radio. I'm Greg Masters, Managing Director of Health Innovation Media, the publisher of HCOWatch.com, and your Pop Health Week co-host with my partner co-founder, Fred Goldstein, the president of Accountable Health LLC, a Jacksonville, Florida-based consulting firm. This is a special edition of Pop Health Week, recorded live from the just concluded MGMA 2019 annual conference in New Orleans, where Health Innovation Media and Healthcare Now Radio collaborated to provide several pop-up studios, selectively report from several of the educational tracks, and amplify the conference messaging on social media. In this session, Pop Health Week co-host and president of Accountable Health LLC, Fred Goldstein, moderates a roundtable with Healthcare Now Radio principals, Roberta Mullen and Carol Flagg, and yours truly. We discuss our key takeaways from this important conference. So, Fred, over to you.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's a pleasure to be doing this show. I'm joined today at the MGMA 19 meeting in New Orleans with Roberta Mullen.
Hi, Fred.
It's great to have you, Carol.
Hi, Fred.
And, of course, now we're being joined today by Greg.
Thanks, Fred. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Having fun.
We are having a good time. It's day three of the MGMA show. We've kind of been running around all very busy, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. We're punch drunk love at MGMA.
So this show will be a little bit of a different flavor for Pop Health Week. We've got a bunch of folks here in the room, and we're going to review the show, review what we learned at MGMA, what we felt was relevant, and maybe some of the other issues that came up as we went to presentations or met with various vendors, et cetera, in the booth. So I think as I saw it, the issues that I most focused on here were interoperability, which was one of the things we had, I know, when we did some work with eFax and their ability to take data and images, et cetera, and move them in a very secure manner. And there was a lot of talk about that, but there was also a sense, I didn't see this as being a highly IT-focused conference like we typically go to, so it was interesting to see where the providers were in terms of their interoperability and ability to exchange data or even think about doing that, and that came up in some of the other presentations. I'm not sure, Roberta, I know you looked at a study. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Well, MGMA has an annual study, and it's the annual regulatory burden report they like to release it during their annual conference. This year, 400 medical groups participated, and one of the some of the key stuff was 86% say regulatory burdens has increased over the past 12 months. And of those, the top burdens were prior authorization, which we've literally been hearing about for like what, a decade, maybe two at this point. Prior authorization still a really, really big burden to them. And then coming a close second is QPP, which is all they're doing,
Yeah, it was interesting as I looked through that report and saw, you know, as you talk about claims is always a problem, but it seems like it's become even more that the payers are saying we're doing more prior auth, requiring more review. I got that sense in talking to people both at the conference and then before it. And also the whole issue of all of the stuff with MIPS and MACRA and that reporting. And I guess they're going to take this now, maybe Rob Tennant, who we talked to as well, and use it to then try to talk to these regulatory agencies, the state and federal government, see if they can move some of this stuff off. Is that the sense of what the report's for?
They're hoping. I mean, they lobby like everybody else. I actually talked to both Humana and United Healthcare. They both have booths. A lot of payers have booths here. And United, it was actually, has a program that they are trying to, it's free, you can have it for your practices, and it does all this prior authorization work for you and does all this analytics for you and that kind of thing. And my question to them was, okay, well, this is no brainer. Why isn't anybody talking to you about this? And, you know, they know because it's just another program that they have to do on the front end.
But isn't that interesting that they would offer a program
to
do your pre-auth through, I assume, their auth system?
That's right. It's totally on software driven. It's on the front end. It does everything for you. But what they're saying is, well, you're only one of my insurance people.
Right, so I was about to ask you, does it work for others?
No, theirs is just for theirs.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So, yeah, right. So They have, you know, they have a solution, but it's only for theirs.
Wow, but what's also interesting, this, and Greg, you and I have discussed this some, is isn't that like just adding another onion to the layer? Mm-hmm. Well, we do our prior authorization as a health plan, right. And now we're going to give you the software mm-hmm. to help you do our prior authorization as a health plan.
Right.
Of course, APIs will save the day.
So true.
You're on fire.
Oh my gosh, here we go. Here we go. So Carol, what sort of, with that lovely lead in, what sort of things did you see here at MGMA?
Well, you know, obviously I always have a marketing and sales hat on whenever I go to these conferences. And so I'm always looking for how the conference organizers put it together, how they were able to engage with the attendees, how they were able to engage the attendees with the vendors, you know, that sort of process. And I think MGMA did a great job. We've been absent for a few years and pretty impressed by their Spark sessions down on the exhibit floor. Love the fact that they actually hosted a press party for the press and mm-hmm. the media got to engage with each other. I got to talk about Wayne Gretzky with Rob Tennant for a half hour at that press party last night. So that was fun. He's Canadian.
Big hockey fans, I guess.
You know, I grew up in Boston. Roberta knows this as well. She grew up there as well. So, you know, if you're not a Bruins fan, but, Bruins. But you know, you talk about, you know, Rob Tennant talking about interoperability and, you know, obviously he's the lead policy person and government affairs person for MGMA. And he has a lot to say about all of those issues, including, you know, you're mentioning the interview in the EFACS booth about a couple of proposed rules coming down the pipe. And he had a great conversation with Roberta and myself at the press party beyond hockey, talking about some of the current rules that are in pieces of legislation that are being pushed right now, and insightful as always.
Yeah, and as you think about the conference, I mean, obviously, I thought it was really well done. I thought the exhibit hall worked well. It was easy to talk to folks. What was your sense in walking around it from a marketing perspective, looking at it, if you were an exhibitor to come here or have a booth?
Yeah. You know, I think there's obviously a smaller conference than something like HIMSS or RSNA, right. But I think that intimacy really works to the advantage of that audience. You know, these are not, as you alluded to, IT-specific kind of attendees like they are in a lot of the conferences we go to. They're practice directors or practice managers. My husband's a practice director. And when they come to these conferences, they're here to get their continuing ed credits, but they're also here to learn from the vendors. And I think that the atmosphere, the way the exhibit hall layout worked, and it really allowed for, I think, some really engaging conversations. And I heard from more than one vendor that perhaps quantity wasn't the issue, it was quality, that they felt mm-hmm. they had some really, you know, in-depth quality conversations with the attendees that would lead to sales, but more than anything, just kind of open up the doors versus just, you know, getting your badge scanned and, you know, getting a freebie.
Right? It's funny that you mentioned that because I didn't really think about this much from a marketing perspective. I did ask some booths, how was it? And they said exactly what you just said. We had the people who came by were highly engaged and were high quality to talk to and individuals that would potentially lead to, you know, some further business. So they were very pleased with it, which
was
interesting.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
really well. And I know, Greg, you and I got a chance to attend a couple of sessions that were interesting. And one thing I really like about this conference as opposed to some of the others, which tend to be really these high-level thought things, this is a lot of nitty-gritty, down in the dirt, how do you get stuff done in your practice to be more successful? And I saw that in a lot of the different ones I went into. And I know, Greg, you and I attend a few. Do you want to comment on a couple of those?
For those who may not be aware, MGMA is the Medical Group Management Association, which dates back quite a few years and has origins. Its roots are in the Mayo Clinic, which I learned through Rob Tennant, as a matter of fact, yesterday. But this morning they had a roundtable affiliated practice roundtable, hospital affiliated practice roundtable. It was moderated by Jeffrey Reitberg, who is looks like he's lead at HCA Physician Services, and he was talking to about maybe 7,500 people, and his slides were showing that the physician medical practice acquisition binge that health systems have been on for the last maybe 10 plus years, so you know, version 2.0 of PPMC type entities, physician practice management companies or MSOs,
he mentioned that the net effect of all this acquisition is a national survey. Physicians who are acquired in by integrated delivery systems, and he really didn't define whether it was integrated clinically or both clinically and financially, including premium, retention, and distribution. He put up a slide that there's a per physician loss of approaching $250,000 in the integrated delivery system cohort, and then the all others is around $145,000. And I asked him, I said, well, can you give us a deeper dive on this 250K figure in, quote, integrated delivery systems? It seems a little counterintuitive because you would think integrated delivery systems are more aligned with value-based healthcare. And it's a little bit surprising. You would think there'd be more coherence in terms of the relationships between the docs and the system and that there wouldn't be these kinds of losses posted. And he said, well, all I can tell you is speaking from HCA, there's not much appetite right now for risk because our portfolio nationally in our hospital group is risk is about 5% of our book of business, excluding MA plans, Medicare Advantage. So I kind of tweeted out after that. I said, wow, you know, here it is 2019. Everyone's talking risk and value-based healthcare, and 5% of their book of business nationally, made the number one for-profit hospital operator, is in risk. So it's I thought that was kind of an interesting tidbit of information.
It's maybe what explains we
why.
To see.
Yeah, maybe explains why we're so slow to transform, so to speak.
Well, what's the underlying why?
Well, I think it's a lack of an appetite for risk assumption, and it's still a heads in beds mindset. You know, it's go out there and acquire practices and appoint medical directors.
If you want to get fed and put on weight, stay in the fee-for-service environment.
Right? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So
that's awful.
That's my takeaway from that. So yeah, so I have more to offer,
that's
but I'll come back to that.
Well, to your point of MGMA, and you went to one of the sessions, and it was really nuts and bolts kind of stuff. You have to remember that all these sessions are for the certifications. MGMA is a huge certification body. All these practice managers, and to get that, these are all points, and the people that are coming, the attendees that are coming here, number one reason is to get their certification, their current certification renewed, or a new certification.
Yeah, and I get that from a certification perspective. I found it great because you actually were learning hands-on stuff that people were doing real world that could make a difference, whether it was in reimbursement, it was in AI, or any of the other areas that we heard them talk about. The bundled payments one we went to was fascinating.
Excellent.
I had lunch with a gal yesterday. She was just sitting at my table, and I asked her where she's from. She was she had a clinic. She was a manager of a clinic in Kansas, rural Kansas. And she said, I said, so how's the conference for you? She said, I came here last year, and I got so much out of it, I had to come back, and I'm doing it again. She said, we get very little support out in, you know, middle of Kansas.
So right. And you think about the mix of providers that were here, from very small practices to big groups, pediatric, adult, neurology, orthopedics, all of that. And so it's really a fascinating mix, plus the big companies, the vendors, et cetera. A real good and dynamic group that you really get some interesting perspectives on.
So are we going to do sort of a round robin, or should I just give you my second?
Go ahead, let her rip.
So the other one, which I attended today, is Getting Beyond the Hype, Artificial Intelligence in Today's Medical Practice, and that was moderated by Mike Quest at CareCloud, and the two panelists were Mike Muley, MD, Google Cloud Healthcare, and then Josh Siegel, also at CareCloud. Mm-hmm. And he asked for a show of hands. He basically said, there's probably 150 people in the room, and he said, how many of you are actively deploying artificial intelligence in your medical practice today? One hand, possibly two hands went up, which isn't a whole lot of surprising, but it's kind of an interesting snapshot of the marketplace today in terms of AI adoption. But Michael Muley, MD, Dr. Muley from Google Cloud, he then said, well, how many are using G Suite? How many are, you know, he says, because you're Microsoft already, Office, you're yeah. already right. leveraging right. AI. Mm-hmm.
You just don't know you are.
You just don't know you are. Alexa, yeah. Siri, you know, Cortana, yeah. Google Suite. So I thought that was an interesting perspective. But clearly this is an area over the next 5, 8, 10 years that's just going to explode.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing is if we get back to our interview with Kaveh at HIMSS, where he talked about where AI is really going, and while there's all this hype and big imagery around, oh, we're going to use it for diagnostics and cancer and this and that, the real leveraging of that product is going to be, and those services is going to be in the service delivery and your process delivery, where you're taking this stuff and either, you know, automating through claims or using it to do, you know, text to electronic health record or voice to record. I think that's where it's really going to leverage. And I think practices will benefit from that as they begin to bring it in. But obviously, they've got a whole bunch of other stuff they're worrying about today, as we heard about in the conference, that to start thinking about where do we put AI in. Well, we're still trying to figure out how do we get paid, as this poor patient now has a $6,000 out-of-pocket. You know, and then that issue we came across pretty clear in a lot of the presentations.
Yes, we are seeing an awful lot of revenue cycle management vendors.
Yeah, there were a bunch here.
So, and the third thing I'll just mention is, which we both attended, which was excellent, commercial plan bundled payments a year later by Penny Noyes, N-O-Y-E-S, of Health Business Navigators. And she gave, I think, an excellent detailing of this whole idea of being an accountable specialist versus a bundler slash convener, putting these packages together. And she gave an excellent presentation, but my sort of net out of all of this was, and I posed the question to her at the end of the session, that if I am essentially being a good doc, a good medical group, and we're hitting our targets, and even with a potentially growing share of savings, she suggested 50-50 is only a baseline, that as you perform, you should expect more, 50, 60, 75, you know, 90, what the heck. And the point was this: every time you move that needle down, you reduce the spend, the cost basis of the care, unless there's some recapture opportunity for additional shared savings to sort of raise the compensation floor, why would I participate in this? You know, why would any physician participate in this? You know, market defense, you know, retention of existing share, but where's the economic incentive? It's just not there. And she kind of resonated with that, and I don't know, what was your take?
Yeah, I think when you think about that whole concept, and whether it's with a bundle or it's capitation or any of those, or even a shared savings model, if you're shared savings and you're lowering the benchmark every year because you're getting more efficient and that lowers the overall benchmark, at the end of the day, there will be nothing left to save and you'll be stuck. And I don't know if providers are thinking that far down the road with that. Clearly, she understands that issue. So the question really is, I recognize from my perspective why I'd get into it, because if I can take a bundle and I can pull a 30% or a 40% margin off of that versus a 5 or a 10, then it makes sense. But if that margin keeps getting smaller, then at 5 years down the road, I got no margin. So you have to think that through in your negotiations. And I think that was also part of what she was bringing up. She had a lot of really good basic suggestions for practices about how to begin to think through bundles and make sure you don't get creamed by them.
So also let me put a plug out to the world and MGMA folk, if you're listening. While we were in this session, Fred's on his phone and he's posting to this Google Groups, this healthcare benefits hackers. And it was kind of like the old day of Twitter. You would sort of post a tweet and you'd say hi, I'm talking to 250 people, say hi, and all these bing, 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 bing would come up. And you posed the question and you got several responses within minutes to your question. So talk a little bit about that.
I was getting answers from this group of healthcare benefits hackers is an email listserv of people who are all trying to work on healthcare and reduce costs, improve quality, and this and that. And it has really great members around the country. And so I had a group of orthopedic surgeons in the Northeast that said, the guy wrote back and said, yeah, we're taking bundled payments, and here's how we do it, and here's how you need to think about it, and this and that. And I had another group looking up, does Walmart prepay that or not prepay that? Brian Klepper, who many of you know, went ahead and was pinging Lisa Wood, who runs benefits for Walmart, all of them, to see if she could get an answer to me in time. So it was an interesting use of that listserv.
Because the question was, she was not aware of any prospective
payment.
It was all perform the services, reconcile, and then get paid.
Correct. And then at some point, they'll get upfront payments like a health plan does. And obviously what that helps a practice do is you take your cash flow and improve it incredibly.
Right.
You get paid before you ever deliver the services. But to this point, we couldn't find anybody who was doing that through the listserv.
And this is digital audience engagement.
Absolutely. You know,
real time.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it was very cool.
So the two of you, it's been a couple years since you've been to this thing. You talked about how it's gotten better. What are you thinking about next year? It's in San Antonio.
Well,
right?
I'm ready to go to the Riverwalk. That's for sure.
we're right there with you.
You don't get the margaritas that you do there.
It's a little different.
But one more plug to the MGMA. I don't know if you guys used. Did you use the app?
I did.
The slides are right there.
Favorited all my. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Everything was great. The opening keynote that I went to on Sunday night, and all the keynotes when they had afterwards a Q&A. They had it set up so that you just open up the app, and afterwards when the Q&A was going on, you open up where it was on the schedule, and on the bottom it had a little Q&A deal, and you hit that, and you put your questions in there. And so the guy that was moderating it had it all on his laptop there, and they were all feeding in, and he was able to do that. So they didn't have people coming up to microphones and everything else. Went very quickly, got a lot more response. And you could keep track of your questions that you were asking and everything. So that I love that there. But otherwise, I thought it was a great app. Gave me notifications what was going on. I didn't set a schedule in there, but if someone did, that it would notify them what was coming up. It was a great app.
It was. Mm-hmm. I did. I also used it, one, because I loved having the slides right there and real high resolution, et cetera. And then I went through for all the presentations I couldn't get to, and I've highlighted them now so I can go pull those slides down to look at them when I get back. I thought they did a great job with it, too.
Yeah, it was very comprehensive during the conference. You didn't have to wait. You know, we don't have to wait till we get back so far. So, yeah, I liked it.
Any other closing comments about the conference?
Oh, I have a comment about San Antonio, though.
Oh, go right ahead.
I know.
We'll take that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be back in San Antonio next year, as well, as Roberta said, not just for margaritas, but for the home of the puffy taco. The puffy taco is, you've got to try it when you're in San Antonio next year. But I'm going to be having a couple of the MGM staff, Terry and Holland, on my show, What's My Tagline, in the next month or so, and we're going to be talking specifically about next year in San Antonio and what changes MGMA is going to be making, and you know, obviously they're going to take feedback from all the attendees and exhibitors and make it even a better experience next year. So I'm really looking forward to San Antonio and having that conversation with them.
Yeah, and I think one more point about this that makes some sense is we did some pop-up studios here.
Pop-up studios.
They work great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got some good attention. Really good interviews, talking with people. So that was also a lot of fun, getting a little more deeper dive into some of the companies.
We'll be back next year with pop-up studios for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about what we mean by pop-up studio.
You mean more than just like we like saying that, pop-up studio?
Yeah. So basically what we do is we're a sort of a mobile studio. Yeah. And we set up in the booth. And we often talk to leadership at the company who's exhibiting on the floor at MGMA or other conferences like HIMSS, etc. And just feature their talent and get their message out, because they're spending, you know, a reasonable amount of money. It's a big investment to come to these events. And your message has a half-life of 2 days, day and a half, 3 days, right? So what we do is we basically capture their message, amplify it in real time via social, and then create digital content, whether it's video or audio, of the conversation. So their messaging remains evergreen content for a extended period of time. So it's a pretty sexy idea and seems to be well received.
It does. And you also did a Healthcare Now radio show here from here too, right?
No, I do MGMA Moments, which you'll be able to find on, if you listen to Healthcare Now Radio, in between shows, you'll hear me talking to some people, MGMA Moments.
So one of the things I think we all noticed was a slightly different response to the press versus some other conferences we attend. Thoughts on that?
The reception was great. They really appreciated us coming.
Right. Smiley faces, very accommodating, going out of their way to make sure, you know, do you need anything? Can we help you? I mean, the press party was great. I mean, there's just a really warm, receptive attitude here, and it felt a lot different than some of the other conferences that we go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sense was they were trying to make it easy for us. Which was right. easy for me, which made it great. I could get done what I needed to get done. They were always asking me, hey, do you need help with that? Or is there any place you don't know where you need to go? Or do I need to try to set something up? Do you need a room? It was really fantastic. I thought the MGMA staff was incredible.
You're here.
Ditto. Well, so what would be part of what I had started to talk about with Hallie, the President, CEO, MGMA, was this value proposition of what the association meant to the community. So a lot of people aren't necessarily familiar with what MGMA does. Among other things, they'll produce practice benchmarks, production, volumes, you know, efficiency indices, regional, national cuts, and this and that. So I said they're at the front lines blocking and tackling this movement towards value-based healthcare, but judging by the comments in the room this morning about this tepid response to assuming risk, I'm kind of wondering if that's true.
Yeah, whether it's at MGMA or any of the groups, you're seeing it slow.
Very slow.
You know, and everyone said, we're going to move to value so quickly, and we see this whether it's the colloquium or elsewhere, and it just really hasn't happened. I think that's why CMS made their whole change, went to Pathways to Success, and said, you've got 2 years, and you're going upside and downside risk, and no more of that. And so it's going to take some time. I think it's going to accelerate now. And the other thing that I found really interesting in the conference, just as an aside, was I was able to network with people from all over the place. I mean, I'm sitting at lunch today. We're sitting at lunch, and I suddenly meet someone from the Hattiesburg Clinic, one of the best ACOs in the country, and I'm teaching in the Mississippi at the Medical Center, and we start talking. He said, I'm working with the Medical Center. We're trying to do some stuff. And there was a lot of that, a lot more than I thought I might see at a conference like this. And it was fascinating to hear the different physicians or COOs or practice managers talking about what they were trying to do in their various communities. Yeah. But it's a good networking opportunity.
Because you're not overwhelmed here.
Well, you're not overwhelmed, but I think also, too, is that, you know, MGMA, you know, they made this real concerted effort to have lunch on the exhibit floor, you didn't have to pay for it, you know, so that the attendees, instead of going elsewhere, would actually stay inside the convention center and the hall for that very reason. Mm-hmm. You're naturally going to network when all of your peers are sitting right there, you know, being fed lunch.
It's hard to sit and eating with someone and not say something.
Yeah.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah. Right.
Not for 30 minutes. Right. Especially, and they're all, you know, and, you know, let's face it, you know, we're all like this when we're our peers, you know, these are people that we want to naturally network with because they do, these are practice directors and practice managers. They do our job. Mm-hmm. They understand our challenges. And so, you know, when we're all similar types operating with similar challenges, you know, I think it makes it easy to find a quick friend. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Pacelli, if you're listening, just want you to know you got some pretty strong reviews from your MGMA tenants here. They're very happy with their setup at Catalyst HTI, so I'll just pass it on.
Fantastic. Well, that'll have to do it from here at MGMA. Thanks, Roberta, Carol, Greg. It's been a pleasure. And now, Greg, I'll turn it back over to you to close her out.
And that is the last word for the MGMA 2019 Annual Conference Wrap-Up. Be sure to mark your calendars for next year's annual event in San Antonio from the 24th to the 27th of October, 2020. For more information, go to www.mgma.com/events. For Pop Health Week, my colleagues Fred Goldstein, Roberta Mullen, Carol Flagg, and Healthcare Now Radio, this is Greg Masters saying bye now.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.